The Coast Guard is almost finished unveiling 8 new ships at a Navy shipyard in Mississippi. Besides being the most complex ships in service history, the Coast Guard almost had to scrap part of the program because of budget cuts. Rear Admiral Joe Vavadich is Director of Acquisition Programs and Program Executive Officer for the Coast Guard and here to explain how the Guard kept the program fully intact. Admiral Vavadich, congratulations on the success story that you're having here. You've got 3 of these ships deployed already. Let's start with the broad picture. What is the National Security Cutter Program and what capabilities do these ships have, sir?
Hey, great, Francis. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk to that. So the National Security Cutter Program proves out to be the center of the fleet. It's going to be the most capable cutter in our inventory of executing the most challenging operations that we have, homeland security, maritime law enforcement, search and rescue, as well as national defense. It right now replaces the 378-foot legacy cutter that's currently in service, certainly built in the 1960s. So, you know, it's pushing over 40-plus years in terms of how long we've had those in inventory. So the National Security Cutter, it's definitely better in seakeeping, better at transit speeds, greater endurance and range. It certainly has a more capable flight deck and launching recovery of multiple types of small boats.
A couple acquisition and deployment points that I wanted to see if you could speak to, Admiral. Christy Thomas, a representative from Ingalls, the company that's building these ships for you, pointed out that the fourth one, Hamilton, is the first fixed-price ship in the series. The first 3 were cost-plus contracts. What's the benefit to the Coast Guard, and what's the benefit to the taxpayer, sir?
Right. So fixed-price environment gives us a greater certainty in terms of what the things that are going to accomplish and what the cost is going to be. We were able to get to that point after delivering the first 3 cutters, which, as you had mentioned, are in service. Over time, the shipbuilder has been able to focus on shorter production schedule, less man hours for rework, and certainly fixes that need to be done before final delivery, what we call trial card. So this fourth one that was under fixed price contract, we found that there were 60% rework that was required before we took delivery, and which, by the way, that happened yesterday. We signed for it and took custody of it yesterday. So another milestone. The fourth cutter is now with the Coast Guard.
Where does the Hamilton go on its first mission, sir?
I can't speak to the mission. It's going to be in the shipyard for another 6 weeks or so as the crew becomes accustomed of its capabilities, the maneuverability, all the tools that we provided. Then it will transit to its new home port in Charleston, South Carolina, which will be commissioning the 6th of December, I believe. So again, looking for another great milestone event there.
You mentioned the fact that the fourth one had such a smaller amount of trial cards that indicate issues that have to go back and be reworked. What's pushing that down? Is it just the natural progression of this being the third and fourth in a series, or was there some other event or series of events that happened in the meantime that caused the company and the Guard to be much more confident about this? The next one in line?
Right. So that's a great question. Certainly has a number of factors involved with that. One is I would say that the program's had some great support and oversight from a number of years. So to be able to get stable support from the administration, from Congress, to be able to get consistent funding, it's allowed us to be on a regular production schedule. So with that, we are able to stabilize cost. The workforce is stable. They certainly know what they're going to get into. They get good at what they do. The shipbuilder can manage materials in terms of acquiring the material management of their vendors. There are certainly a lot of subcontractors involved. And over time, their processes and techniques mature, again, what we call a learning curve, and that's kind of driven into everything that they do there. So what we found a shorter production schedule, less rework, and like I said, we're having a more complete ship when it's time to deliver.
As I read about the program, sir, I recognize that this is the most complex cutter that you have in the fleet. But as I read about the program, it did strike me, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe back in the requirements stage, you set out a line of capabilities that you wanted this ship to perform, and it doesn't sound like there's been a whole lot of change in things that you wanted to add on or modules you wanted to change out or things like that. It seems like it's been a pretty consistent set of requirements and results that you wanted this ship series to produce. Am I on track there?
Francis, you're wise beyond your years. Insight in terms of what it means to have stable requirements. And so making sure that we articulate what we want or need so the contractor or the industry can go out and seek those out. And so we have consistent configuration management, configuration control. We're just really managing obsolescence issues only. With that, again, we like predictability. I think industry likes predictability, and with predictability, we have something that looks very stable and very capable in terms of assets that are produced.
I only laugh, Admiral, because you flattered me regarding my wisdom, and I hope you'll continue to do that throughout the course of the conversation. What have you learned from this that you expect to apply to requirements development and acquisition and then the actual building of ships series that you'll do in the future?
Right. So I think we could probably put it in three buckets or so that I'd like to talk about in terms of moving forward. One is the government needs a highly capable workforce. And so, you know, as we work with industry in terms of developing this capability, on the government side, we need capable project managers and systems engineers and logisticians and folks that understand finances and cost estimating and test and evaluation and contract. I mean, and so it took us, the Coast Guard, a while to get to this level that we had this very viable and capable workforce. The other thing is to talk about is affordability. I mean, that is really a center of conversation here. A lot of times we think in terms of affordability, in terms of efficiencies that we expect from producers, but a lot of times affordability means a very well-understood set of requirements and needs that really are going to satisfy the operational mission, that they're not gold-plated by any set of standards. And so making sure we have a process that can go through this affordability analysis, that we don't ask for anything too much that we need. And so moving forward, we've taken that in as we're, again, four of those national security cutters have been delivered. We have three additional ones on contract. The eighth one is in the FY15 president's budget. So we're really looking to conclude that. But as we roll forward into the next iteration of recapitalizing our overall fleet, we're looking at the offshore patrol craft. And so, again, we learn from stable requirements, trade-offs in terms of affordability, engagement with industry in terms of developing our strategy and review of our solicitation so our requirements are understood, and driving both a maximum competition as long as we can in a fixed price environment are some real key things that we've learned here that we're driving moving forward into our next potential large acquisition.
Rear Admiral Joe Vavadich, Director of Acquisition Programs and Program Executive Officer at the Coast Guard. A couple of points there as we wrap up that I'd like to hit on. You mentioned affordability, and it's tempting in the budget environment that we're in now to try to squeeze as much as possible as you can into the units that you're able to get out the door, and it kind of goes to the simplicity issue that I talked about before, because if you don't keep it as simple as possible while still meeting your requirements needs, you're going to wind up spending a lot more money, I imagine, and then defeats the whole purpose of it.
Very wise, Francis. Very wise.
Keep it up, Admiral.
We have to look home first. Again, so we are looking at mature technologies, things that are proven, things that don't have to be wrung out during the acquisition cycle, to be able to carefully integrate them, to understand how to use them, and making sure that our tactics and procedures align well, all keeping in mind that we have to complete mission.